In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen.
Today we celebrate the feast of the Assumption of the Holy Mother of God, when her pure, precious, and spotless body was ascended into the heavens. Our Lord came with his angels to receive her pure body and bring it into his glory. And this feast, there's so many things that we can contemplate together, but I want to just speak about the glory of the Mother of God as the pure and faithful Virgin, her glory as the Mother of God, the Theotokos, who gave birth to God the Word, and the Mother of Hope for our own glory. She is an icon of the life of glory and transfiguration for all of us. The glory of the Mother of God, as Abuna was speaking to us about last night in the Vespers sermon, began at the moment of her conception from her own parents, and she was delivered to the temple at a young age of 3, where she lived the most pure, humble, and faithful life, serving God in the simplest ways and becoming obedient to his laws and growing in the life of perfection. Indeed, her life before the incarnation was a life of perfection and glory, and that's why when the angel Gabriel came to the Virgin Mary, he said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." For at that moment, there was none in the world before and none in the world after who was to be like this pure virgin. And what kind of greeting is this that the angel gives? "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And so we see, even before the incarnation, that her life is a life of glory and perfection. But her glory also came when the Word himself dwelt in her womb, and she became the Theotokos, as we say in the life of the Church, in the prayers and the hymns of the Church. Theotokos means the birth giver of God, the Mother of God. And it was because the very Word of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, came and dwelt in her womb and united to himself a flesh, and made that flesh one with his divinity, and he was born from her as the incarnate Son of God. And hence we call her the Theotokos, because indeed, he who was born of her was God the Word, who united to himself a humanity. And so we call her the second heaven in the Church. And one of the fathers of the Church, St. Jacob of Sarug, he says, "Even more than the heavens is her glory." He says, "Heaven and Mary were for him equal when he dwelt in her, yet they were not equal, for to the one who beholds her, Mary is greater. Heaven is his throne, and Mary is his mother, and behold, they are not equal, for the throne does not resemble the mother, because the mother is greater. Heaven did not give milk to him who became a babe, but he seized the breast and the bosom of Mary who had become his mother. Heaven did not conceive, nor bear him, nor suckle him, but she bore, embraced, raised him, and to her belongs a blessing." So the throne in the heavens was not greater than the glory of the Mother of God, who gave birth and raised and fed her child, God the Word incarnate. So that's why in the life of the Church, she is exalted above the angels, above, as Abuna was telling us, the cherubim and the seraphim, the thrones, the principalities, the dominions, the authorities. All of these things are nothing compared to the glory of the Mother of God. And that is why in the life of the Church, she always comes first in the prayers of the Church and the intercessions of the Church, before the archangels and all the other saints in the life of the Church. And the glory of the Mother of God is our glory, because she became the mother of our salvation. When the angel Gabriel announced to her the good news, he waited for her to respond by saying, "Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. And when she had said yes to God, the yes opened the gates of heaven for all of mankind. See, the Lord did not push and force himself on humanity, but he invited us to accept him, to accept him to come as a man. And the yes to that will of God came from the life of St. Mary, from her acceptance of the will of God in her own life, to be the mother of the Word of God. And when she became the mother of the Word of God, she became the mother of salvation for all of us. None of us would be saved without the yes of the Mother of God. And so, again, the fathers say that her womb became a bridal chamber, a bridal chamber where the marriage was consummated between God and man, between Christ as the head of the Church and between his body, which is us, the members of the body of the body of Christ, his holy Church. a meeting place, a marriage, a consummated marriage between the Redeemer and those of us who are being redeemed, between the heavenly and the earthly. And so we owe our salvation to the Mother of God's yes to God. And she indeed became the first member of the church and the mother of the church. And if we reflect on the prophet Moses, when he went up to speak with God and to receive the word of God, the Ten Commandments, and he came down to his people, and his face was transfigured, and the people could not bear to look at him because he was transfigured. He was transfigured with the light of God. He was transfigured with the very divine presence of God. And if Moses' face was transfigured for merely being in the presence and speaking with God, how much more the body and the whole person of the Mother of God, who carried God himself in her womb. She indeed was full of the divine light of God, and yet her transfiguration was concealed. In the same way that Christ our Lord, glory be to him, as he walked on the earth, his transfiguration was concealed from the apostles, except for the time that he was transfigured on the mountain of Mount Tabor. And so, we see our Lord today honoring his mother by raising her pure body into heaven. He said in his commandments to us, honor your father and mother. We as sinful, weak men, we do not know how to faithfully carry out this commandment. But God, who is the author of this very commandment, he knows how to carry out the commandment to honor his mother. And today we celebrate the honoring of his mother. In the life of the Assumption and the life of the Virgin Mary, we see a glimpse of the eschatological reality of the church. Eschatology, the eschaton means the age to come. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. And the transfiguration of the Mother of God is a reflection, an icon of the transfiguration of all of us, the lives of the saints and our own selves in the age to come. It is the hope of our own glory living in the life of Christ. And we see this in the transfiguration of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ himself. Last Thursday, August 19th, we celebrated the Feast of the Transfiguration. And if we think a little bit about what happened on that mountain when our Lord was transfigured, he revealed not only his divinity as he was shining with a light brighter than the sun. He wasn't only revealing his divinity, but he was revealing to us the glory of the new humanity. He was revealing to us the hope of our own transfiguration in him. And so the Father said he became the first fruits. He is the first, and we are those who follow him. If we are in him, then he becomes the first fruits, and we share in that same glory. And that is the hope of all of us, is to live the life of the transfiguration, both here and especially in the age to come. And we see this in the lives of the saints. And as Abuna has told us many times, even today, even in our own church today, we have seen saints who have been transfigured like Moses, transfigured with the light of God for a moment, revealing the light of the transfiguration in their own lives, and again, the hope of glory for all of us. And so, when our Lord took with him the three apostles to the mountain of Tabor, he took the same three apostles, Peter, James, and John, that he took with him where else? To the Garden of Gethsemane. And we see here a connection. What happened in the Garden of Gethsemane with our Lord was under extreme suffering and sorrow. And what happened on Mount Tabor was the transfiguration, the glory of the Godhead and the glory of the new humanity. And so we see that in the transfiguration, Christ is revealing to us a connection between the glory of the transfiguration and the glory of suffering. And in the Gospel of Luke, we read, then behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, of his death, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. This is an amazing thing. In the moment of our Lord's transfiguration, he is surrounded by a light. The apostles are falling on their face. And yet, what are Moses and Elijah talking about? They're talking about his death. They're talking about the cross. The transfiguration is the glory of the cross. And St. John Chrysostom, he says, he is transfigured to manifest the glory of the cross. Those who went up with him did not hold their peace, but were destined to speak of the glory which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem, of his passion and the glory of the cross. So the transfiguration, the glory of the transfiguration, is the glory of the cross. And so we cannot separate the glory from the suffering, from the cross, from the resurrection. They are one mystery. They are one mystery. And What does it mean to us practically? It means to us practically that for us to share in this transfigured life that we are celebrating in the Mother of God today and in the life of all the saints, and our hope, the transfiguration, life of transfiguration, we must also bear our cross. We must also endure the sufferings of this world. Our Lord said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How do we come after the Lord? Come after me. Where do we want to come after the Lord to? Where do we want to follow him to? We want to follow him to his glory. And so if we want to follow him to his glory, we have to follow him to his cross. And St. Paul said to the Romans, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And again, this is evident in the lives of the saints. Those saints who carried their crosses, those saints who suffered, who endured the tribulations and denied their egos and became humble unto death, those became transfigured and experienced the glory of the world to come in this life. What about the Mother of God? If there was one person who could escape the cross, if there was one that God could accept from the cross, it would be his holy, pure, and spotless Mother. And yet, if we contemplate the life of the Mother of God, we see that in her life, there was no suffering before or suffering after that could equal what she endured. This was told to her by Simeon when St. Joseph and the Mother of God took the child Jesus into the temple to do to him according to the law. Simeon held the baby in his arms and said, behold, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And then Simeon looked to St. Mary and he said to her, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Indeed, the life of the Mother of God was one where her soul was pierced. If we contemplate together, how can we imagine the suffering of the Mother of God, the Holy Theotokos, when she gave birth to God the Word incarnate, the King of Kings, in a simple manger, in an open manger where the nakedness and the coldness and the animals and what kind of environment was this to give birth to the King of Kings? How much as a mother did she suffer when she endured that type of birth? How can we imagine the suffering of the Theotokos when she held her child in her arms for the first time and she realized that this son was destined to suffer and to die on behalf of the world? For she knew the prophecies. She knew what her son would endure for the world. How much did she suffer, this holy virgin, when she heard about the slaughter of Herod and how the deaths of so many innocent children were taken because he sought the child Jesus? How much did the Mother of God suffer when she endured this difficult journey to Egypt, where she lived as an exile for many years away from her home, and the long, arduous journey on donkey, her and the beloved Saint Joseph, to escape the slaughter of Herod? How much did the Mother of God suffer when our Lord was 12 years old and he stayed behind in the temple to preach and to speak with those in the temple, and his mother and St. Joseph thought that he was lost, and for 3 days they couldn't find him? What suffering does a mother endure when she can't find her child for 3 days? How much did the Mother of God suffer when they imprisoned her relative, St. John the Baptist, and when she heard that they had beheaded him and cut off his head, he who was the forerunner of her son? How much did she suffer when St. Joseph, the guardian of the Incarnation, died and left? How much did she suffer when our Lord began his life-saving ministry to the Jews and his chosen people, and she saw them reject him, her son and her God? What she must have endured to see that her son, God the Word incarnate, was being rejected by his own people? How much did she endure when they arrested her son, treated him like a criminal, and they spat on him, and they beat him, and they whipped him, and they placed the crown of thorns on his head, and as a mother she stood by and watched? How much did she suffer, the Mother of God, when she saw her son carrying the cross, abandoned by everyone, even all of his followers except her and the beloved disciple, knowing that he, the giver of life, was doing it of his own will, voluntary, because of his love for mankind and for the world? How much did she suffer, this pure virgin, when she stood at the foot of the cross and saw her son in extreme agony, her son and her God dying for the salvation of the world? How much did she suffer when she carried the body, the precious body of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, when it came down from the cross and it was filled with blood and cuts? Indeed, the eighth day of the ninth hour, we pray, when the mother saw the Lamb, the Shepherd, the Savior of the world, hung on the cross, He said, while weeping, the world rejoices in receiving salvation, while my heart burns as I look at your crucifixion, which you are enduring for the sake of all, my Son and my God. Indeed, there was none before or after who suffered and endured sorrows like the Mother of God. So the Mother of God is our icon of hope. She is the icon of glory and suffering. St. Paul says to the Colossians, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us is the hope of glory. And while none of us will ever be her equal, none of us will ever be as great as the Mother of God, for no creature, nothing under the heavens or the earth can be as great as the Mother of God, nonetheless she becomes the mother of our hope. And she was always pointing us to her Son, as the icon shows us. She's pointing to her Son and interceding for the world. And she is indeed our mother, because when our Lord was on the cross, he said to her, "Woman, behold your Son." And St. John here represents all of those who come after him in Christ, that all of us now call St. Mary our mother. She was indeed given not only to be the mother of God, but to be given to each of us to be our own mother. And so today, beloved, we celebrate the glory of this Holy Virgin, who became the mother of God, the Holy Theotokos, the one who endured suffering, who bore the cross, and received the glory of the cross, the transfigured life. She is the mother of our hope in the life of the Transfiguration, the greatest icon we have of this hope of glory. She is the blessed and holy mother, our joy, the Theotokos, for the blessing interceding for us in the church and in all our lives. May her intercessions be with us always, and glory be to her Son, our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ.